Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson again, the car guru. I'm glad to be with you on this Thursday morning. I'm actually going to be heading to Road Atlanta today, and I have a special guest with me today, but I'm not going to let him talk yet. I'm going to make him be quiet. His name is Ricky Parton. Parton's Hot Rods in Greenville, Tennessee, and I've been talking about this guy some on my show, a little bit. You don't mind me talking about you, do you?
Not at all.
Okay. But, you know, I really respect people that are really good at what they do. I don't care what they do. If they're an accountant or if they're a pilot in an airplane or they are a really good salesperson or a really good waiter. I ran into a really good one in the drive-thru this morning at Chick-fil-A, Ricky. She recognized, she called me by name. Really? I'm a regular customer. She said, Lenny, you know how they always ask you for your name when you go through there?
Absolutely.
You ever give him a fake name?
No.
You didn't? Okay. Well, I'm letting him talk just a little bit, but let's get into a little bit of what's going on. I do have a big sale ending today. You remember, folks, I talk about bringatrailer.com a lot, and it's such a great venue for selling vehicles, not just everyday cars, as I've discussed. It's you know, special cars that have, you know, they're either old and rare or just rare, but most of the time they're expensive. But this car that I'm selling today, it has, like, I think about 8 hours to go, and I had a hard time getting any bids going on it at first. Ricky knows this car pretty well. It's a 1949 Buick. Thought it was a Roadmaster, but it's actually not a Road. It just has a big Roadmaster grill. It is not a Roadmaster.
What's a better looking grill?
Yeah, nice it grill. It is the best part. You know, the grill is worth the bid that I have on that car right now.
For sure.
But anyway. So that's exciting. That's going to happen here this afternoon. And then I'm headed to Road Atlanta to meet with my brother and his buddies. We actually rent a motorhome and park it right there at the S turns on Road Atlanta. Have you ever been to Road Atlanta, Ricky?
No, never.
Okay. Well, it's a tremendous road course. Folks, this is kind of racing that we talked about yesterday on the show. It is not, going around a circle. You know, it has lefts and rights. High speed, slow speed, and there's four different classes of cars racing on the track at the same time. They are all going different speeds. And so when a fast car comes up on a slower car, they flash their lights and the slow car gets over. Isn't that nice?
It's nice. Yeah, it's really nice.
But now each one is racing and trying to win their own class, and it is an endurance race. So
they're racing multiple classes in one race.
On the same track for 10 hours.
Wow. Endurance.
And they have endurance, and they have multiple drivers too, so you know, I mean, you can have up to four different drivers in the car, so it's a lot of fun. Some of you may be saying, "He's crazy."
What you're into.
That can't be fun. It is fun. It's fun just spending time with my brother, and you know that's. And my other brother trip is the Amelia Island. You haven't been to that one either. I'm gonna have to take you.
We go to Amelia Island for vacation every year for the family, but
that doesn't
never been
count.
To the show.
If there's not cars down there, what's the value of driving?
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So anyway, we're going to talk about hot rods. You know, Ricky, if you don't mind, Ricky, explain what you do. I mean, as far as for the general public, what do you do?
So we are a high-end street rod builder. We also do restorations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any make and model, we don't specialize in one make or model specific, but we've been in business 21 years. I've been around the street rods and hot rods and restorations for nearly 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And we're fortunate to do what we love and mm-hmm. do it every day.
So, you know, when I first met you, I walked into your shop. It was on Summer Street.
Correct.
Of course, you had another shop in Newport, Tennessee.
Yes.
And it's when I walked in, I knew that this was something different from what I'm used to. Because, folks, if you were to come down to my shop, and I encourage you to do that, come down to our address is 3305 East Andrew Johnson Highway, and you'll see the big gateway sign. We're right in between the Chevy store and Powell's drive-thru. Everybody can find Powell's, the big American flag.
Just follow the line.
And the big follow the line, the big hot dog. But Ricky is a tenant, so as long as he pays his rent, he can stay.
That's going to happen.
But he has an amazing shop full of amazing cars. The work that they do is phenomenal. They're doing a 66 Mustang convertible for me right now, and he's been instrumental in this 49 truck project that we've been working on forever. but it's my fault.
It's wrapping up.
I keep complicating things.
It's harder to add things as you go.
But, you know, sometimes people will say, I can get my car painted. Well, I had somebody yesterday say, I got my car painted for $1,000. Ricky, what's the difference between that's not even fair. Let's say a $3,000 paint job and then the kind of paint jobs that you guys do on hot rods, something that would like be on a show, like a SEMA, you know, one of the big, gigantic hot rod shows or something. I mean, what's the main difference? Is the paint more expensive?
100%. Yeah. I mean, the paint that we use is probably more than what they would pay someone paint and labor and everything.
So what's a gallon? What's a gallon of expensive paint?
It depends on the color
paint
and the pigments and whether it's a pearl or metallic, but about $1,000 for a color, just base.
For a gallon of paint.
Yeah, and then you got to add the clear and reducer and hardener. So to do an overall vehicle, you know, we're mixing 4 or 5 gallons at a time. We're spraying, you know, 3-4 gallons of clear on the car. Yeah. Inside out, bottom top, we'll have 4,500 to 5 grand just in materials, not counting the labor to do it.
Yeah. Now, you know, to make a car look, I mean, the paint has to be virtually flawless.
Well, right? the paint job is like 95% prep, 5% paint. So your prep job is what makes the overall job. So if the prep is bad, the best painter in the world can't make it. You know, you can't get the ripples or the waves out of it.
Now, you've got some... Everybody, like, what are the different roles in the shop to make a shop like yours work? What kind of talents do you have to have working for you?
So for us, you know, we have people working for us that, you know, obviously we hired from out of state. We have people from all over the country that have worked for us over the years. Mm-hmm. And you try to put your feelers out and try to find, you know, obviously the best people for what they do, and then you have to pay them. You know, to keep them.
You got
to
pay them?
You got to pay them. So, you know, obviously when someone comes by and they're wanting a car built, you know, with the staff that we have and the employees that we have, somebody has to pay them. So that's the reason, obviously, prices cost more than, say, your shade tree paint job that you were talking about earlier. But for us, you know, once we get a vehicle in, it has to be torn down. So you have a teardown guy, an assembly guy, and they're usually responsible for disassembling the cars and putting the cars back together when they're complete. Then it gets media blasted. And then after media.
Now you don't do that in your shop?
We used to. We don't do it anymore.
Okay.
Now we're contracting all that.
Okay. So folks, if you have a car that has to be, you know, it's an old rusty car, or it's just a car that you're wanting to restore, one of the first things you do is you get it media blasted, right?
Correct.
And then you can find out what the real flaws are,
absolutely,
right? Because
absolutely,
that exposes rust that you could not see if you didn't do it.
Yes.
And basically that is using, explain a little bit about what media blasting is.
So media is, a lot of people refer to it as sandblasting, but sand is a different media altogether. You know, sand, as it's hitting the panel, while blasting, it's building up heat, friction buildup, which actually can distort the panels or warp the panels. So most of the time, the media that we use is crushed walnut and crushed glass, a combination.
Really?
And the reason being is it doesn't build up heat friction. So,
what about baking soda? I've heard of baking soda. Is that something people use?
Baking soda is used in the industry, but we don't like it. The reason we don't use baking soda is it actually leaves a film on the metal, that you have to make sure that it is absolutely prepped the best it can be once you use baking soda. Otherwise, you're going to have adhesion problems from here on out.
Right. So somebody brings a car. What's a real popular hot rod body?
32, 33, 4.
Okay. All right, 32, 33, 4. Somebody brings one in. So you got to blow it apart, right? And then
Correct.
You got to media blast it. You got to see what you've got.
Right.
And then what's next as far as...
So once it's media blasted, we apply an epoxy primer, and that basically just seals in all the metal, keeps from, you know, rusting, flash rust and everything over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to our metal fab shop, and in there, we either repair rusted areas, we build panels from basically nothing to put in, or if it's a restoration or if it's a high-end build, then that's when we start doing all of our real high-end customizing.
So what is the challenge that you get into taking an old car like a Model A Ford and turning it into a modern, safe car with a real high-performance engine? I mean, what do you have to do to the car in order to make it ready to do that? Because I would assume that a Model A frame and you know the way that car was built, it's not built to handle
correct.
You know 500, 600, 700 horsepower like you guys can put
absolutely.
In
absolutely. So obviously the first hurdle is budget. You know, you've got to make sure that the budget is
yeah,
there.
Right.
And then once that is established, we either typically build a chassis in-house or we'll order a custom chassis depending mm-hmm. on the budget and, you know, what the client is wanting at the time. And
now, when you're talking about chassis, you're talking about the frame.
The frame, okay. suspension,
yeah. you know, everything. Okay, all right. Well, so most of the really high-end hot rod builds are built on a modern frame, right?
It's or a custom, yeah, it's a custom chassis.
Yeah, it's not some kind of, it's not an original Model A frame. Those get correct. Thrown in the dumpster.
Scrap bin, yeah. Or sold, you know. Typically you can sell them at swap meets or whatever.
You know, I know some guys that used to think it was sacrilege to take a Model A Ford and turn it into anything other than an original Model A Ford. Are those people gone? Or going away?
Well, you know, the way that, and I used to be that way, just because, you know, the 32 Ford is what started hot rodding, you
yeah.
know, that mm-hmm. first small V8 car. So I used to kind of feel that way myself personally, but over the years, you know, everything has evolved. And, you know, unfortunately now, if you have a stock 30, 31, 32 Model A and it's restored back to stock,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could spend 50, 60 grand to get it to where it's worth $17,000 or $18,000.
Yeah.
But if you take the same car and you do a custom chassis with, you know, a new Coyote engine, modern engine or an LS,
right.
and you chop the top and, you
yeah.
know, custom paint and body, you're $150,000, $200,000
oh, yeah.
in value all day.
So how much time are we up to right now? You got the car, you tore it apart, you media blasted, and now you've got this new chassis coming in. How much time has elapsed? I mean, if you were just doing that one car,
well,
is that a couple weeks?
In a perfect world, obviously what we try to do is we have our clients stop in and they pay a deposit to be on the waiting list, and we mm-hmm. go over a game plan at that point.
Okay.
And what we do, if we know we're going that route, if it's a restoration, obviously you're going to use the original frame. You're
yeah.
wanting to be back exactly like it
yeah.
came off the manufacturer. But on a custom build, we try to narrow all that down in the beginning, because a chassis, if we build it in-house, that's one thing. But if
that takes a lot longer.
It
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
But if you're ordering it from a chassis manufacturer,
yeah.
then you're still 3 or 4 month lead time. So you have to schedule everything to where when you're ready for that chassis, it's there.
Okay. And then what happens next after, let's say you've got your chassis, you've got your body, and then you start doing body work, right, and start painting and make sure everything's as slick as it can be.
So, yeah, after we get the chassis, we have to make sure, we have to obviously mount the body to it, and
yeah.
we cut door gaps and stuff and hood gaps and make sure everything, all the gaps and stuff are perfect. Then it goes into the body shop, and then obviously you have multiple guys that will spend 100, 200, 300 hours just making sure that body is 100% perfect before yeah. it ever goes to prime.
Yeah. You can always tell it when they're not perfect, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Rick and I, or Ricky's group, was doing some body work and stuff on my car hauling project. Well, it was really my guy. My single employee was doing the work on it. We got it all painted, didn't we, Ricky?
Sure did.
And then we looked at it, and we said, nap. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we said not good enough because, you know, Ricky has really high standards, and so do I. And, you know, certain things, we had the cab done, separate from the actual body of the car hauler, the part where the car sits on that you're hauling. And, you know, it just wasn't good enough. So we had to start over. And, I mean, that happens, doesn't it? You know, how often does somebody come in like a customer and they've got even more critical of an eye than you do?
See, for us, that it's almost never. And I'm not trying to sound conceited or have the big head, but
I know you have high standards.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is, with me, you know, I have to be happy with it before
yeah.
it leaves. And if I'm not happy with it, you know, regardless of, over the years, we've had customers come in that were tickled to death and wanted their car that day, but there was a few little things that I just
yeah.
didn't like.
Yeah.
Even if I have to fix, you know, a few things for free in the end to make it perfect, we will.
So if somebody wants you to do their car, their project, I mean, you don't take everything that comes to the door, right?
Correct.
Because you really can't.
Right.
You'd have to kick it down the road. But are there some things that you just prefer, that you prefer not to do? Like, you're not a body shop in
no.
that if somebody has Farm Bureau insurance and they wreck their car, they're going to come in and get you to fix it.
Right.
That's not what you do.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No. And we have friends that we can refer them to for that.
Yeah. But you are dealing, and everybody that you deal with is not somebody that's loaded with money, right?
I mean, correct.
A lot of the people that you deal with are just everyday people.
Yeah,
you know, and they just got, you know, they're blue collar workers or they're, you know, lower income, but that makes it a challenge for you, doesn't it?
It does. It mm-hmm. does. And you know, you feel for those clients because you know that they're wanting a good car, but with our rates are reasonable enough that mm-hmm. you know, the average person can afford to have mm-hmm. a nice car. But we have clients that have borrowed from their 401k, you know, doing everything that they can to try mm-hmm. to have the car of their dreams built.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we put a lot of effort into making sure that car is perfect. You know, yeah. these people are struggling. They're borrowing from their retirement. They're doing everything they can to have this car because it's what they've always wanted.
Right.
We want them to get what they pay for.
You prefer to have somebody you can call and say, hey, we need more money, and they say, check's in the mail.
Or, yeah. And you get
or
that.
Or they wire it to you.
Yeah, you get that.
We'll take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a minute with Ricky Parton. Okay, we're back with Ricky Parton of Parton's Hot Rods here in Greenville, Tennessee. Folks, if you have a project that you've been thinking about doing, but you don't know who to have do it, you don't know how far to go with it, if you just need some advice, Ricky, you don't mind them coming down, bringing their car, and you coaching them a little bit on that?
Not at all, not at all. We'll show them around. We'll give them a tour.
So what happens with me, Ricky, is I have these people call me, and they say they have a, I don't know, like a four-door Galaxy, you know, and it's been in their family for a really long time. And they bring it down, and they say, you know, I want to restore this thing. How do you deal with the value versus cost situation? I mean, do you want to know what this person's expectations are? You know, like if they're planning on flipping this thing or selling it, will you tell somebody, that's not a good idea?
Yeah, we will. And, you know, that happens once, you know, people stop by initially. We sit down in the office and we go over options. You know, if it's a car that someone is, you know, it's been in the family and there's some sentimental attachment to it, you know, they may be okay spending more than the car's worth because it's what they're wanting. But if it's a car they're wanting to build and sell, then we have to, you know, negotiate that. You know, if you're wanting to build a car, and there's cars that you can, you know, build right and you can sell and you can make money on. And
like a four-door car, give me a four-door car that if you restore it, it's still going to have good value, that actually do well. Would that be like an old Lincoln with suicide doors or something like that today?
Yeah, your old Continentals are going to have some value to mm-hmm. them. Outside of that.
But you're talking about a Galaxy or an Impala or something. If it's got four doors, it's got too many, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what would you say is the most common car that's hot rodded?
Probably the Ford Mustang.
Oh, really?
Probably the Mustang. We have, over the years, 21 years, we have built more Mustangs than anything.
Are there still Mustangs out there to buy?
There are.
And Broncos?
There are. You just, you know, you just have to really look at what you're getting.
You know, I've got some folks that live on the way out to my mom and dad's house. It's just like going, it's out in Sunnyside, and they've got two Ford Broncos sitting out in the yard, and they've been sitting out there for probably 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And they're just going to dust. And I think a lot of people have come up, tried to buy them, and they say, no, I don't know what the plan is. But, you
we
know.
We should go by there.
Huh?
We should go by
there. I know, no. I'm afraid I'd get shot. You know, the thing about people have different motives. There's this place where I ride my bike. There's a Pontiac, I think probably a 69 to 70 Pontiac GTO sitting out there on blocks.
Wow.
And it says GTO on the side. And folks, when it comes to Pontiacs,
the goods what you want.
That's probably one of the most valuable Pontiacs.
It is.
And it just hurts my heart, you know, to see it sitting out there on blocks. But maybe they just want it there. Maybe it's just a memento of theirs. It's something that's special, and they don't see the value. They'd rather have it sitting there like it is than to restore it. People have different needs, different wants, don't they?
For sure, for sure. You know, when I started in business, you know, we had an open trailer, car trailer, then we would travel around the back roads on the weekends just trying to find, you know, something like that was sitting at someone's house. And, you know, over the years, we would knock on doors, and we had people say, you can have the car if you get it off my property.
Yeah.
You know, take it, get rid of it. And then we had people that just didn't want to sell.
Yeah. Well, you do what, you know, there's a lot of shows on Netflix and TV, History Channel and stuff like that, on the Speed Channel, so forth, that they are doing television shows about exactly what you do.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just get a lot of publicity and notoriety. A lot of that's just not real, though, is it, that
no.
you see?
No, I mean it. You know, it's
especially the time frame,
TV,
like Chip Foose.
Yeah.
You know what is that show? Overhauling. Yeah, and they do a car in a week or something like that.
Yeah.
How long does that really take to do?
Oh man. For us, if the budget's good and we have the parts, you know, we're 6 months to a year.
Okay. Yeah. So they're accelerating things that they make it look a lot faster.
Yeah,
than
you
really
can't
is.
Get the paint to cure in a week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Ricky, I appreciate you coming in, and what we'll do is we'll get back and do this again sometime because there's a whole lot of different stuff. So I want to talk about the history of hot rodding. You know, when we get a chance, and you know, there have been some really famous hot rodders out there over the years. You know, just like Boyd Coddington, and of course Chip Foose is one of the modern guys, and if you go and look online at the SEMA show right now, you'll see the tremendous amount of money, and the artistry to me is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, 100%. We're actually hoping to be at SEMA next year is the goal.
Oh, cool. You're going to put my car hauler in there? Probably not.
Probably not that one.
We'll be using it. Well, Ricky, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Well, thanks again for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. We'll be back tomorrow. Again, if you need me, just call me, 423-552-2020, or you can reach me by email, Lenny, L-E-N-N-I-E, Lawson, 2020, @gmail.com. And I'll be here again tomorrow. We'll